The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
A lot of baseball to talk about, a lot of fab pickups to talk about, and I've barely started breathing again from the Warriors game, but we'll hit it all. I'll come back in the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by Rival Fantasy. We appreciate Rival Fantasy for the sponsorship of the podcast. I am Scott Jensen, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson, here to talk a lot of baseball. Jeff, how are you this Sunday evening, April 23rd?
I'm good. Busy weekend. They're always busy weekends, and I'd have it no other way. But, a busier fab period than I thought it would be. I thought it'd be pretty quiet. We were talking about that right before starting.
Yeah.
That a little bit more active and a little bit more activity than I expected. I was and a little bit more like contested bids than I thought I'd have.
Me too. It was a little more spendy than I thought. I don't know if spendy is a word, but I kind of thought I would slide some guys through, and there were a lot of people that are on the similar same guys. I lost some really close bids, which is always frustrating. I've won some close bid lately, but when you lose by $1 or $2, it's kind of frustrating, but we'll talk all about that. Jeff, we had some big news in baseball this week. It seems like my A's are potentially moving to Las Vegas. There's been rumored for a while, but it sounds like they're kind of turning their backs on Oakland and moving on.
Isn't it kind of, it's not just, it's all but official, right? I mean, at least they're committed to building the stadium, and you're not going to build a stadium without a team. So
committed to being committed, I think maybe a better way to put it. I mean, they still have to get a lot of money passed in public funding, but I'm kind of disgusted by the whole thing. I'm not going to rant on it too much, because I know people want to talk about fantasy, but like, the way this ownership treated the fans have been the fans of the franchise forever. Like, I get it. Teams move and nobody understands it. Man, I'm old. I get it. Baseball's a business. Stuff happens. You got to make money. The city of Oakland is not without fault. The A's fans are not without fault. But this is like the way they treated people the last 18 months just kind of grosses me out. The president, the owner, like, they intentionally tried to lose these last 18 months. I kind of joked about it beginning last year. I'm like, I think this is major league. I think they're trying to lose, but they actually were trying to lose. They're trying to make a point that Oakland, you know, can't support a team. And what's kind of gross is, like, this stuff matters. I get that it's not, you know, life and family and friends and your job. I get it. But baseball matters to people. Like, you look at my life and you look at, like, a photo album, you're not going to go for Maury Pages when you don't see a picture of me at the Coliseum or me wearing A's gear or something like that. Like, I wouldn't – I met my wife as a result of the Oakland A's. Like, maybe we meet in another world in a different way. But, like, that matters. Obviously, my life is significantly improved based on that fact. So, like, I just get that – This ownership group and the president, like, treated these fans like just absolute garbage. That's what upsets me. Like, the Warriors moved. They moved from Oakland to San Francisco. That's a business thing. But, like, they didn't actually try and lose when they left. Like, their last game in Oracle was a finals game. Like, they were still trying to, like, do stuff for the fans. And they felt bad for the Oakland. They did stuff for the Oakland. Like, they had the last year, they had the Oakland jerseys. And, like, had a lot of stuff. But, man, this ownership group just treated everybody like absolute garbage. Treated the city of Oakland like garbage. Like, the way they told the mayor was just disgusting. Like, it was like, we're dealing. Oh, by the way, I'm making a phone call. We're done. It's just like, the whole thing's gross. And I hate to say it, Jeff, but if it all goes through, it looks like it's going to. I'm fully out. I'm on the market for a new team. I kind of thought, you know, what's going to happen if they move? Will I go forward? I'm fully out. The only way I'm back in is if Fisher sells, can't get it done in Vegas, sells the team to somebody else. But I'm out on a Fisher-led team with any move to Vegas. So I'm a free agent.
So I agree with everything you said, except A's fans have no, they're not to blame at all for this.
I mean,
not one single iota to blame.
There are seasons where they didn't show up well, but the stadium is a dump. Like, it's not a fun place to go often. It's a fun place to go every once in a while, but
they didn't put money into the stadium either. Never. That's the thing. They didn't try. This whole thing, the game is rigged. It's like The Wire. The game is rigged here. This is straight out of the Jeffrey Loria playbook. Spoil the market. Say that Oakland can't support a team, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then it just ruins the market. Montreal never got a franchise back. Montreal is an amazing city, and they would go nuts for a winner. And, you know, instead they're in this concrete dump, and they didn't try. And the thing, same thing here. They tore the team down. 18 months ago, this team was a contender.
Yeah.
At the end of the 2020 season, they lost money in the short term. Boo freaking hue. They lost money. They're you know, that's part of the risk. You know, we need to be guaranteed a profit. We need the cities and municipalities bend over backwards, pay $500 million when that needs to be going to other viable city functions. I mean, I'm as big a sports fan as it comes. And when you see all this corporate welfare for stadiums all the time, it drives me up a wall, especially when you move a team and just kill a market in the process there.
I'm referring to the Warriors because they obviously said the same thing, but like they built their building on private financing. That was all paid for. There's some benefits in there, but they put the money in, and I just like Fish, the A's thing, like they had the stadium in Howard Terminal, and then they just kept wanting more. They kept wanting more, you know, the restaurants, and they wanted all the land, and they're just like, it's just constant. It made me think that like they never were acting in good faith. So, it was funny. We talked about it, and I wasn't totally sure how I'd react, but the way it worked out, I'm out. I'm done. Not only am I out, I'll root against them.
Yeah, this is like the Colts leaving Baltimore in the dead of the night.
Yeah,
it's exactly like that, except they haven't physically moved yet. They announced the thing at midnight Pacific time, or the news broke midnight. They didn't announce it. The story leaked at midnight.
Yeah. And by the way, they leaked it at night Wednesday night or whatever it was. The whole thing is just, it's handled so badly, and they just act like, you know, people don't matter and this stuff doesn't matter. And I get that I'm a huge sports fan. It matters more to me than 99% of people out there, but it's a lot of life stuff that goes on. I have friends that I met in the Coliseum. I have friends that are friends because of A's fans. Like our friend Nick Sackett, who plays in the NFBC, like we knew each other from A's stuff way before this. Like stuff matters, the sense of community and stuff. And they just ripped it away. And it's gross. I hope that if they move, I hope they never, ever, ever win.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And then, by the way, this won't happen until 2027.
Hell do they play in the AAA stadium in Vegas? Like, I don't even know where they go.
Or do they stay in Oakland and have this weird like cohabitation after the divorce?
You can't. Like, their lease is through 2024, so there's no way that they're past that. If I'm Oakland, I'm like, I put the locks on the gate and be like, dude, find somewhere else.
Yeah. One more thing, at least for me.
Yeah.
MLB is complicit in this too. They had a deal done to get something done in San Jose, and they blocked it, saying it's Giants territory.
Yep.
You know, the Bay Area is plenty big enough to support two teams.
Yep.
But after that, you know, it was clear like this was set. I mean, they had like, and the thing is, like, they pretended to be negotiating with the city. They just cleared this environmental hurdle for the one construction site. Oh, by the way, we did this.
Oh, it was always something. People are always like, oh, you're building a new stadium. I'm like, dude, when I see a shovel like in the ground, I'll believe that. I never believe them. The team president's a liar. Like, there's just no way around it. He's just kind of gross. The way he's been like doing all these things from Vegas the last couple years, like showing how great the fans are. Like, the whole thing is just gross. So it's disgusting. But let's move on. Let's talk fantasy. All I gotta say is thank goodness for fantasy baseball. I would be maybe pretty disillusioned on the sport right now if I was just an A's fan. But obviously, I love fantasy. Right. I love baseball. I will watch plenty of games. I will watch other teams. I will root against the Las Vegas team to be happy. I don't know who I'm going to pick as a team, but my daughter's 7, so if she gets into it, I think we'll just pick a team together and kind of go from there.
All right. Very good.
Yeah. Speaking of teams we didn't expect, Jeff, I was looking at standings today. You know, it's too early in the year to really care, but Jeff, the Pirates are 16-7. What the heck's going on here?
They played the Reds. 4 games. That helps.
I set you up too well for that.
Yeah, you did. No. And the Rockies this week. Yeah, still eating glue. But nice weekend for both of those franchises. Reds, I think, scored 3 runs this week, maybe 4. I mean, I think they're 0 for 7,000 in runners in scoring position. And you look at that lineup, you can see why. But, you know, the Pirates are doing great with run prevention this year.
Yeah.
Their bullpen. Colin Holderman's been great. It's not just Bednarz, who's been obviously Bednarz, excuse me, who's been awesome, but it's like their whole bullpen. And, you know, bullpens, like, they come and they go. You know, this might, this, I don't know if this is a formula to last, but it's a formula to do well in the short term. When you get these guys that are all pitching well, Dwayne Underwood has been a hero for this team. If you look at his numbers so far this year, you know, solid pitcher, 116 whip so far. He picked up a save the other day. You know, it's just little things like that. It adds up. I mean, you know, only one walk heading into the day. So, you know, little things like that. They're not scoring. They're not like a tremendous offense. There's an injury in the on the T-Wolves right now. Someone's writhing on the ground. I think that's Towns, which would be to form. But anyways, sorry.
You're like a second and a half ahead of me, so I saw it happen as it happened.
Oh, it's
Kyle Anderson.
Kyle Anderson. Yeah. Yep. Brutal.
Gobert did not do it, just in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah, are we sure about that? Can we confirm? Oh, it is friendly fire, though. It got raked across the face by a teammate there.
The offense is, I mean, it's the, you look at their offense, you're like, yeah, this can't sustain. But like Connor Joe is smoking the ball. You look at some of his hard hit numbers. Dude is raking right now. He's got a 51% hard hit rate, a 14% barrel rate right now, hitting .357. You know, just looking really good right there. Rodolfo Castro feeling okay for O'Neill Cruz. Carlos Santana, old man, doing some good work. Jack Sawinski, 3 home runs and 2 stolen bases this week. I know it was in cores, but like, what a huge week for anybody that picked him up. The offense can't sustain. You look at it, there's just not enough names here, but it's fun when a team like this starts well. I think we'll look in August and they'll be bad still, but it's kind of fun for now.
Yep. Johan Oviedo was available in one of my 12 teamers. How aggressive would you have been knowing that he gets 2 starts this week? The second of which is against the Nats. First one's against the Dodgers. but he conquered Coors last week.
Yeah, look good doing it, by the way. His slider's good.
Yeah. I knew, I'll spoiler alert. I wasn't aggressive enough. I did want him, but did not.
Don't tell me yet. In a 12, I probably would have been in the 45 to 55 range for him.
Yeah. And he went for 85.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have gotten there in a 12.
Yeah. But man, I mean, it's a 2-step and he's rolling, he's getting strikeouts. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they're starting pitching, as Uncle Ted points out, 12 quality starts in a row. Yeah. There's like a couple teams that have won all season.
I when you say a couple teams, I know exactly what you mean, but we won't go there. Vince Velasquez pitched
Red Sox,
well.
Obviously.
Ronzi Contreras pitched really well. He looked really good last week. Mitch Keller's pitching well. Rich Hill pitched well last couple outings. I mean, they're putting together. The Vince Velasquez thing is interesting because he was someone who used to have really good stuff, has struggled for many years, but he looked really good today. 10 strikeouts, only 2 hits and 2 walks. Looked really sharp today.
Yeah, I'm not really willing to buy into him, though. He had a 512 and 150 where his ratios heading into this game. He just got to face the Reds today. I'm not really going to give him a whole lot of credit for that.
Yeah, although the last 3 starts, he's given up 0-3 and 0 runs. He had a 5 in there that kind of skewed it. But last 3 starts, 23 strikeouts, last 3 starts.
Yeah, that's true. I'm still not buying.
Yeah, but I don't blame you. I think we've been burned over him in the years. But one of those starts at the Coors, the other one was at the Cardinals. So, you know, a little bit maybe real there. Someone I'm going to be watching this week. I think that, you know, maybe one more start and I'd look there. But
okay,
let's look at week 5. We got, it's crazy, we're already in week 5. But it's a big week in baseball. We got 13 teams with 7 games. 10 of those in the AL. The Orioles, Yankees, Rays, A's, Rangers, Angels, White Sox, Tigers, Royals in Minnesota in the AL, and then Atlanta, Miami, and St. Louis in the NL. We got a lot of games this week, Jeff. It's fun. It feels like it's one of the biggest weeks so far.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that. We got one team with 5 games, Padres.
Yep.
Padres and Giants play a 2-game series this weekend, and they don't play on Friday. I don't know why. Did you read up on that at all?
I have not seen it. I saw the schedule, and I'm like, oh, it's opening day, but obviously it's not this season. It feels like it's a weird setup. Maybe they just – scheduling tweak. They need, that's the only way to get to 162, but it's rough.
Yeah. I hate it.
I hate it too. It's like, you're going to look on Friday and I actually think about it, cause I have some Giants in the main event. I kind of platoon them in and out and I'm like, oh, I can't use any of my Giants next weekend. Cause a 2-game weekend is tough.
Yeah, it is. It's really tough. And
our friend Uncle Ted mentioning the Harold Ramirez has a lot of multi-hit games. Uncle Ted, Harold Ramirez is the only guy I have all 3 of my main event teams, so I know it very well. It was a fun, nice. fun Harold Ramirez week.
I bet. Wow, good for you, man. My 3 across is Joey Meneses, who got his first home run today.
Hit 4 hits the day after.
Yes.
He's, so, he's, He'll come around.
I think so. I hope so. A lot of cold weather. That's what we're going to blame it on.
There you go. With so many games, we do have some teams with some really good offensive weeks. If you're looking to pick up some hitters, the Minnesota, the Twins are a really good setup this week. They have 7 home games, 3 against the Yankees. You know, a little tough there, although they miss Garrett Cole, which always helps there. And then they get 4 against Kansas City, and that is obviously a fantastic match. We love facing them. Greinke, Lyles, Keller, and Brady Singer. That's fireworks right there.
Yep. Jorge Polanco was available in one of our leagues.
In your main event. Wow.
Vegas, Maine. We need him. We really need him. Our offense sucks on ice. I don't even know if that how one does that, but it's bad. It's really bad. Went for 247. I didn't get him. Story of my season so far.
What I was going to say, 247 is more than I would have gone. I would probably been in the 150 to 170 range. What were you guys at?
I think we were like 139 or something like that, which is still not enough. Actually, I can tell you because FPT has that MyFab results thing.
While you're doing that, I don't necessarily love Polanco, but man, middle infield is an absolute disaster with all the injuries. But I needed a middle infielder in 2 different main events, and I literally could not find guys to bid on. It was really tough out there.
Yeah. Our offense is really bad. It's just the thing is, we're lacking stolen bases in this one league in particular. Lost Garrett Mitchell for the season. Lost Michael Harris a week into the season. He keeps getting delayed coming back.
Yep.
Hey, when we, you know, this is a bit, you know, we cover a lot of topics in this podcast. When someone says no love for Nico Horner, hey, you guys, we love him. That's great. It's just we're talking free agents right now. We're talking schedules.
Not only that, he's on the list of players I have to talk about at the end. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Patience there.
Heart Foundation is reading my notes. That's pretty good.
Scary. So. Well, it's the definition on your camera must be really good.
It is. It's solid. Some other good offense this week. The Diamondbacks only have 3 games. We talked about, the Twins facing the Royals. The Diamondbacks at the Royals. And they get 3 at Coors. That's a really nice week. Mm-hmm. Jeff, this Diamondbacks offense is tough. They got a lot of moving parts. As someone who accidentally ended up with Jake McCarthy in the main event, he's not even playing against Rays.
Accidentally, you spoke him into existence.
I did. I didn't want him. And then 40 picks after ADP, I'm like, oh, I need steals. And if nothing else, he'll run, right? Jeff, he's not even playing against righties.
No.
He has started off horribly.
Yeah, he has. He homered today.
He did.
So maybe McCarthy will come around. I do have him in a main event where, you know, I was a little light on speed. He was a little after ADP, and I went after him, and not liking it. Not liking it a lot. Taven Smith is playing in his place a lot.
Yeah, 24% hard hit rate. He's hitting 150, 1 home run, 3 RBIs. He just has 2 stolen bases. I think the biggest concern for me is the playing time. I think they have so many guys there that can kind of cycle in and out that he's definitely not going to play against lefties now. Like, that's gone. And when you start sitting against righties, I can't drop him yet. He was too much stolen base upside to drop him yet, but there's just a lot of guys playing there. Alec Thomas is playing better than him. You mentioned Paven Smith. It's, someone mentioned in the chat, Lourdes Gurriel, although he's a righty, so, you know, maybe the platoon doesn't work as much. But enough guys are playing well there. They just don't need him right now, and it's pretty easy to play him twice a week, and that's unusable for us.
Yeah, and, you know, I wrote about the Diamondbacks outfield in, like, January, how it was going to be crowded. I assumed Paven Smith would be out. But that's the thing. When it's crowded, you need to get off to a good start.
You do. It really matters. You know, it's crazy. We're like, oh, 20 games doesn't matter, but – when there's playing time issues, 20 games matters.
Absolutely.
Ask Nick Gordon.
Oh, I cut him last week. Thank God.
I cut him this week. I think his bat, you know, the craziest thing about his season is he has a strikeout rate under 9% right now.
Like, right.
He hasn't strikeout at all, but his BABIP is 114.
He makes the weakest contact in baseball, apparently. And I both were on him. He was go get this guy type of guy. I hate that. It's one thing when he stinks for your own team, but when you also give people the advice to go get him and it goes like this, I feel horrible. I feel like I'm leading people astray. At least I'm like tasting my own medicine there.
He legit had some good contract metrics last year. And, you know, maybe it's just a really slow start, but again, it's such a slow start. I mean, he has no home runs and no RBIs and no steals. Like, it's a dead zero start. And it matters here because the Twins aren't playing him.
Yeah.
And the only reason they sent Julian down instead of him is because Julian had an option and Gordon doesn't.
Right, they're not really ready yet to cut bait on him. But
right.
I thought it was interesting. Edouard Julian batted third one day and it was in the minors the next. Yeah. That's clearly an options based thing and not necessarily a merit. I hate that, by the way. But I understand you can't just cut everybody.
I don't think they were quite at the Madison Bumgarner level of DFA with Gordon, but 2 weeks they might be.
That felt like a DFA out of spite. I didn't see any of the comments.
That was a beautiful DFA, by the way.
It was. I mean, it was an immediate after that. He's chirping on the mound at hitters
that
when
was
he's getting
so insane against Contreras. Like,
yeah.
Because he swung too hard. Like, it was so ridiculous. Like, I get there's times you get mad about stuff.
And he's done
so
that
insane.
Like seven times, yeah. Though. It's crazy. And he's finally, like, the act wore too thin. It was finally like, you're not good enough to pull this off.
Yeah. I saw a quote that, some batting coach or some hitting coach that they kind of prep for Bumgarner like they do for like a position players pitching because it's so slow and so different that you have to kind of have a different mindset than you do with facing normal major league pitchers.
Wow. Yeah. I was watching a Rockies Phillies and it was the Rockies broadcast. It was Thursday, I think it was, because there was like four games on. So I was kind of forced to watch some of that.
Right.
And the Rockies color guy, and I hate to throw anybody under the bus because broadcasting is hard, but he's like, well, you could, you know, give veteran leadership, you know, all these young guys on a roster, you know, anybody would want to have that sort of veteran leadership. And I think he was talking about the Rock, you know, it'd be good, maybe good for the Rockies. I'm like, A, you've seen him pitch lately, right? B, how do we know just because he's old, he's going to give leadership? He doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to be nurturing to young guys.
C, I'm pretty sure he's not nurturing to young guys.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and take that stand. I'm pretty sure he's not someone that's like, you know, spending a bunch of time with the young dudes in the bullpen. Like, he doesn't come across that way at all.
Here's how to be salty. This is what happens when you give up a home run into the bay. Yeah. Say, you yell at the player hitting it for looking at it for a nanosecond.
Yeah, he went sideways fast. I mean, I heard him talk about, you know, is he a Hall of Famer? You know, just based on the postseason, it was insane. I think his postseason numbers are bonkers. He won the World Series of the Giants single-handedly, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
His peak is too short.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see some other good offenses here before we move on to Fab. The Angels were looking really good this week. Four against the aforementioned, I don't know, I guess we still call them the Oakland Athletics, but I mean, the pitching is horrible. You mentioned the bullpen's horrible. The starters are horrendous. Their ERA, team ERA is like 2 runs higher than anybody else. Then 3 at Milwaukee's a really nice setup. The Orioles are nice this week, 3 against Boston, 4 at Detroit. There's a lot of fun offense this week. We should have a lot of runs. We've obviously seen a pretty good offensive scoring environment. So many 7-game weeks. It's going to be a pretty wild week of stats, I think.
It is. It is. And I want to see it. I don't want to see my guys get crushed. I've had too many of those lately, but at the same time, yeah, I'm looking for lots of games. We don't have a Patriots Day game tomorrow. Thank God. And of course, a rain delay on top of that in that game. And just two of them, one at the start and one in the game. So it totally ruined the starts there. You know, in the case of Brian Bayo, he ruined it. He ruined his own start, but still, he also got exceedingly unlucky in that game.
And Ohtani had his start washed away, which is tough because it was 2 start weeks and people use him as a pitcher instead of a hitter. But the second start was so good;
it made up for it.
It totally made up for it. It's funny because that first game, Yankee Stadium on Tuesday, he homered and stole, and everybody was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't wait to play him as a pitcher." But yeah, he threw such a gem the second one that it was awesome.
Yep.
A lot of chatter in the chat. We do like to see that. I saw Christian Bethencourt named. He was drafted. I drafted him in the main event, so someone that I like to. But let's get into Fab. But first, a note from our sponsor for the podcast, Rival Fantasy. A new MLB season means it's time for a new kind of daily fantasy baseball. Rival Fantasy is the fantasy platform reinventing the way daily and weekly games are played, and they brought new games to the ballpark this year that fantasy players won't find anywhere else. Rival Fantasy games include Fantasy Bingo, Head-to-Head Player Challenges, and Fantasy Book, where users can select over-unders for 2 to 5 players. With games like this, daily fantasy has never been better. Right now, RotoWire listeners can get a $50 protected first play. That means if you win your first play, you keep your winnings, but if you lose your first entry, Rival Fantasy will fully refund you up to $50. Go to play.rivalfantasy.com/signup and use code RotoWireMLB at signup and deposit a minimum of $25 to get your first entry on Rival protected up to $50. Now's the time to step at the plate and become a Rival today. Welcome to the arena. So Jeff, let's start in starting pitchers tonight with Fab. The clear biggest bid this week across the board went for over 175 in all 3 of my main events. He was the biggest bid in each one. We talked about the A's a bunch. Sorry about that, but Mason Miller with the A's, the young prospect that they called up. It's a really wild call up because he's thrown like 30 innings in the minors, so it's hard to figure out what's going on here. But insane stuff. He was throwing like 101, 102. Slider's pretty good. You look at stuff plus for his first start. Up there among the elite guys, but innings are the concern here. He last threw a bunch of innings in college. He started out a Division III guy and wasn't that good. And then he found his stuff, found his velocity, moved up, threw like 90-something innings in whatever it was, 20. I guess that'd be 2021 before he got drafted. And then since then, had shoulder injuries, hasn't pitched much, had never thrown over 65 innings in a game until the first game with the A's. I think he threw 81 pitches in that game. What did you do with Mason Miller? Because obviously the stuff is there. The velo's there, but who the heck knows if he ever gets a win? And that's just not the team. That may be like, I don't know how many times you throw five innings either.
Yeah, I only keep him on his bids. Not even the Fred Zinke second place type, which is different. He distinguished between keep him honest and finishing second place type bids. Regardless, I was nowhere near getting him. I knew I wouldn't be. And it's all about the team. It's not about him. I don't even think people might not be making a mistake on this, but I think they will are because I just don't think he gets wins, and we need wins in this format here. I think you're going to see a lot of 4, 5, and 6 inning outings at most. And then you've got the legendary.
I think 6 is at most too.
Then you got the legendary A's bullpen, which is and legendary for the wrong possible way. You mentioned the lack of inning accumulation. I think they're going to totally load manage him.
I usually hate load management, but like a guy like this, you have to, right? Like he threw 16 innings last year. Like he just didn't throw at all. Like there's no way he's thrown more than like 75, 80 innings, right?
Yeah. Maybe 100, you know, same sort of concerns we had about Grayson Rodriguez earlier is like, you know, they're going to find ways to manage his workload a little bit there. Skip a start there. The A's are going 6-man rotation. There's that. So how many times are you going to get a 2-man?
I don't know if they do it that long because Fuji's not good.
But yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess I was going to say who did you put in his place, but they don't have to. That's the whole point, I guess. Yeah.
And even Grayson threw 75 innings last year.
Yeah, exactly. It's
a lot different than 15.
Yeah, Fuji's ERA is 1440. Holy gosh.
I wasn't kidding.
Caprillion's 1233.
And he's at the bullpen now. Every time he comes in, I just chalk up 3 runs in that inning. It's wild.
Oh my gosh, it's brutal. JP Sears had 10 Ks in his last outing. Looked pretty good, actually.
I have him in a main event. He's the only guy there that I think is mildly intriguing. I actually think JP Sears is going to be worth rostering in a 15 teamer.
Have you chucked Waldichuk?
Gone.
Yep.
It's weird because the swing and miss used to be there. It's not there right now. Without the swing and miss, it's
yeah. Rough. What do you have? Yeah.
Someone asked in the chat about Mookie Betts and his positional eligibility. He is 3 games of second base away, at least in NFBC format. So 10 games to get a new position. He's still 8 games away at Chores. We only played 2 there. So, but he's 3 games away from second base. That'd be an interesting middle infielder pretty quickly.
Absolutely. And I think that he got like the first 2 extra base hits for Dodger shortstops this year today.
That's a pretty awesome stat right there.
Yeah. And the Dodgers, by the way, like for all our complaining about their offense, they're like 4th highest in WRC plus. I mean, and well by their way up there. Because when
Max Muncy homers twice every single day, it helps.
Yeah, it does tend to help. Or James Outman does it when he doesn't.
I talk about the best value so far. My God, Outman's killing it.
I love Outman.
Yeah.
It's funny how both Outmans, pitcher and hitter, do not live up to their name. For their respect.
And as far as I could tell, James Outman's a nice guy and Josh Outman is not.
Yes.
I want to talk about one guy who was not available in NFBC leagues, but obviously we're talking about a wide spectrum of leagues here. You play in a lot of leagues. We all play in different leagues. Logan Allen in Cleveland pitched really well today. You got to be careful not to pick up a Logan Allen that's on the Rockies because there are two Logan Allens out there.
They used to both be on Cleveland.
That's right. You're right. The other Logan Allen was one of them. He was like kind of a buzzy guy like 3 or 4 years ago. People liked him coming out of.
He was the first training. One. Yeah, the first Logan Allen is now in Colorado.
The second Logan Allen is pretty nice though. I mean, looked really good today. Pitched well for the Guardians. Were you in any leagues where he's available? What were you doing with him?
So I was in AL Towers, and
nice. And you got Todd Bradley there last week, right? So you spent a bunch of money.
Yes, I did. Okay. So I lost Jeffrey Springs basically, and I get Fab Reclaim at least. So like because I. Bought him in the auction, I get like 10 times his auction salary. So I paid 15 for him in an AL only auction. So I get 150 in Fab back at least.
I like that. Yeah.
It lessens the blow. And then after the All-Star break, you get to then it only gets half your auction. So it's times 5 instead of times 10. But anyhow, because I went and got Taj Bradley last week, I wasn't going to be active on Mason Miller besides the other reasons why. And Logan Allen went for $4 more than Mason Miller.
Oh, wow.
Logan, and it wouldn't have been the case if it weren't for today's outing. 100%.
I think I would have bid more on Allen too.
183 versus 179. The problem, I think, when it comes to Logan Allen is he's got a lot of competition in the Guardians farm system, let alone when their injured pitchers come back. You're also talking about Gavin Williams. You're also talking about Tyler Beebe. It just happened to be a perfect timing for Allen to get the call. And I think he's maybe, he's coming from AAA as opposed to AA. But he earned at least maybe another start. We'll see. Battenfield still on the team, and he's getting two starts, I think, this week. Maybe. We'll see.
I actually don't think he's going to.
Yeah, you don't think he'll get the second one?
I think Quantrill is now officially pitching Monday.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're 100% right. But then it's 2 weeks. It's in next week that that's actually a big downgrade, actually. I don't know, actually.
Although, the second start was at Boston, right?
Yeah, and now if he goes two starts next week, Battenfield would get at Yankee Stadium and then versus Minnesota. At Boston, at Yankee Stadium. Actually, you wouldn't think, Yankees, you got to avoid the Yankees. I don't know. I think I'd rather avoid the Red Sox, to be honest.
Can I just take neither on that one?
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have had Colorado, Boston, then New York, Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, I'd agree with you on that for sure. So, but at least the Minnesota game is in Cleveland. When I want home starts for Cleveland pitchers all the time.
Agreed. Agreed there too. So what else did you do with starters? Those are the top, top names. Obviously Allen was not available in all leagues, but Mason Miller was. Like I said, he went for 176, 177, and like 205 in mine. I was with you in the keep modest bid, but I was in the, if I slide him through and he goes really cheap and nobody wants him in my league, kind of keeping honest. So I was not really that close, but, who else did you look at? Johnny Brito bounced back with the Yankees. Ross Stripling is back in the Giants division. Joey Lucchese pitched well for the Mets this week. We talked about Velasquez and Sears. Like, what else were you doing? Cause I kind of felt like it was kind of a glut of kind of medium guys, other than the top two.
My Vegas main Drew Smiley was available.
Nice.
I didn't get him. I went 29 on him. Didn't get him. Went 17 on Lucchese. That didn't get him. I knew I probably could have been a little bit more aggressive on that, but so be it. Mason Miller, we've been on. Velasquez, we threw a buck at. Uris Familia, a buck at. I know not starter, but I'm just looking at my pitching waterfall. And I know you like it, and I say that, so that's why I said it.
I do.
And we ended up with Jose Budo for one start for a buck. So we'll see.
So they have to, the Mets have to call him up though, right? Like he got sent down, so they have to put someone on the IL to call him back up, right?
Right. And so he's listed as a confirmed starter for Tuesday against Washington, though.
Actually confirmed that? Okay.
No, at least not on our projected pitcher's grid, unless I need to update that. But he was optioned down. You're right.
They have to put someone on the IL because Scherzer's spot does not count. They have to play a man short. On their official site, they have TBD for Tuesday.
Okay, so I see the blue dot next to him, so I might be wrong about that then.
Yeah, I just looked at their site. They have Senga for Wednesday, Lucchese for Thursday, and Josiah Gray against TBD on Tuesday.
So, and the thing is, they don't play until Tuesday. There's not that many teams off on Monday, so we'll have to.
But you'd think a random 12th reliever to the IL would be pretty easy, right?
Yeah. I think so. They could find. Yeah, it's the Mets. They can afford it too. So. I figure they'll do something like that. We'll see. It's a travel day for them. They just they played the Sunday night game, probably fly overnight. So we probably won't hear anything until game time Monday night at the earliest.
All right. A fair rebuttal from our friend Paul Spohr talking about Mason Miller, talking about how, you don't have to be good all year to be worth it. And I understand that. He said low to mid hundreds. He went more than that in my league. He mentioned 90 to 100. I think 90 to 100 is going to be high. I don't think he's going to quite get that high, but my concern more is the four inning starts than it is the not pitching in August and September myself. Like I'm fine with that. If he was pitching 5-6 innings for 3 months, I think I'd love it, but I think it's gonna be a lot of 3 and 4 inning outings.
Well, they'll hold him out of the playoffs to maintain that low inning count.
Sorry. Low blow, Jeff. Low blow.
Let's go to the Stratford.
Not the week for low blows in Oaktown.
I'm so sorry because my team sucks so bad too.
I am fully in full joke mode, so we're good. So there were some interesting names in 12 teamers. I felt like the 12 teamers had some. Yusei Kikuchi is about 49% owned there. Matt Strom off a really good start, 35% owned there. Griffin Canning, who's throwing really hard, stuff looks good. He's 20% owned the 12 teamers. I felt like this is a week where the 15 teamers were kind of meager, but there's a lot of interesting guys, kind of mid owned, that just kind of break out in the 12 teamers.
Yeah, that's right. And some names that you'd be surprised at. Kyle Gibson struck out 11 in his last start.
He did.
And he has a two start this week. And it's a good two start. Kyle Gibson gets freshman, and the Baltimore's just playing all these bad teams. It's been great. No, he doesn't get a two start this week. He gets Detroit this week.
Yeah, and then Kansas City next week.
Yeah, that's what I was pointing at. So I'll go with it. You know, so I went. I got him, which was nice. That was in the 12. Griffin Canning has two steps this week, I think, or one this week and two the next. I forget which, but no, it's two this week because the Angels have seven games. I would have gotten him had I not gotten Gibson. I think Kikuchi was on my list. Colin Ray is a guy that do you trust? Because he gets two starts this week, and the first one's sweet. So I had a hard time. I only put like $5 down, and it is like well down on my list. But he gets Detroit in Milwaukee first, and then a home start against the Angels to finish the week.
The matchups are nice. Scares the heck of me. Doesn't strike guys out. I think he's usable for in a 15-teamer just because of the matchups. But I just hate guys who don't strike guys out. Like if I'm going to get a bad start, you know, I hope he can strike some guys out also. And he's never done that across his career. I mean, when he pitched 100 innings in 2016. Was he? I assume he was overseas in that in the meantime.
Sure.
He was in the majors from 2016 to 2020.
Let's go with that. I don't know. Sorry, I can I can look it up while we're talking. But
no, I'm looking. He was in he was in the Japanese league those years.
Okay. So what? Yeah, that's what I figured. I mean, and you get that gap there. It's either injury or, you know, that long of a gap. It's usually overseas.
Yeah, I'm trying to look. It's on Baseball Reference. They have him as Japanese league. I can't tell exact years there. I could probably look at it though. But
yeah.
He's been a little all over the place. A lot of minor leagues there. Yeah, he was in Japan in 2021. It looks like for sure, and then more in the minors in 2018 and 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's it's one of those things you just strictly playing the matchups on that one, and sometimes you got to do that. But I don't know if I'd watch that start.
Yeah, I don't know if I would either.
Someone in the chat was asking about Kyle Bradish in Baltimore. He was 100% owned in the main event, so I was not in on him. I think he was available in some online championships leagues. Where are you in Bradish now? Because he's only been back for a couple starts, but the second one was really good. He pitched at Washington, you know, good matchup there. But you know, six innings, five hits, one walk, six strikeouts, looked really good in that start. He's someone that was interesting last year, was super unlucky in the first half, super lucky in the second half. It was a weird year for him where, you know, the second half looked really good on paper, but the kind of underlying stats weren't that good. So I eased off my interest a little bit, but that first start against Washington looked really good.
Gets a two-step this week, Boston on Tuesday. That's going to be pretty telling. Now it's in Baltimore, so it's better than being in Boston, but there's been some slugfests in Baltimore until this week when all of a sudden, like, you know, no one could score at all, but then he gets at Detroit though on Sunday. You like got like that. Detroit's got the highest K percentage in baseball right now, at least heading into today. So you get the possibility of a bunch of strikeouts. We had
you have to hope Javier Baez is back because you really want him in the lineup for the strikeouts.
Yeah, maybe you do. He'll swing. We know that.
He will swing. Someone asked in the chat about Chris Sale. He had two starts this week. Man, I don't know what Boston's doing. He pitches on Monday, which you think, but right now they're in a six man. You know, Tanner Houck pitched really well his last start. Brian Bayo's in there. Whitlock's in there. Until they get rid of Kluber, I think they might be in a six man at the moment. I got to start Sale because if he pitches Monday, you know, there's a good chance that something happens. They skip somebody. He pitches again on Sunday. So you got to use him. But I think it's a good chance that the two steps not till next week.
Their ace right now is Tanner Houck with a 4.29 ERA. Gosh, he's actually pitched pretty well. It probably is.
Sale actually looked really good his last start. Easily the best he's looked
for sure. But my God, Corey Kluber, 8.50 ERA. Yikes. I mean, at least Whitlock and Bayo are working their way back from injuries and things like that, and so they haven't pitched as much. But all along we knew the pitching was going to be a disaster. It's just the degree to which it's a disaster is pretty amazing.
Yeah, someone asked the chat about Tommy Henry, who filled in the rotation when Bumgarner went out. You know, I wouldn't read too much into that based on, you know, Brandon Pfaadt's obviously the guy. They're just kind of trying to slow play him a little bit, it seems. I don't know. Tommy Henry doesn't do a lot for me. He hasn't had a really good history. Looked really bad last year for Arizona. You know, ratios that would have smoked you. I'm not all that super interested in Henry.
Yeah, the fact that he pitched last year in the bigs might be why he got the call first, too, because he's
I think it was a 40-man procedural thing in there, too.
Yeah. I'm not even concerned too much about getting strafed at Reno just because Reno is like pitching on the moon.
I worked for a baseball team in Reno for 3 months, and I couldn't believe some of the guys that hit home runs up there.
Yeah,
we had a fan come out during a game and hit a home run to win everybody in the park cell phones.
Wow, what a promotion! I hope there was some insurance on that one.
We did it all year, and like no one ever got close. And towards the end of the year, we're like looking for guys that literally could really hit, and it ended up being like the third baseman's brother, and he hit a bomb on like the third pitch and like way out of the park. It was place went nuts. I mean, place went nuts with 1,500 people there, but the place went nuts. Everybody got free cell phones. It was pretty good. Of course, you had to sign up for an account, so I'm sure it wasn't that good of a deal, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah, exactly. It was, the thing is, Fott got hit pretty hard in his first start. He gave up like four homers in his first AAA start this year in Reno, and some of that's there. So yeah, I mean, you have to take that with the appropriate grain of salt. But yeah, Henry's getting the first chance, and he's lined up for two starts this week. I still think Fott's the guy you want to own in the long run.
For sure. Second one for Henry's and Coors too.
Yeah. Yeah. So good luck with that.
Yeah. Godspeed there. What about relievers? It feels like another week where we're not getting that big reliever push, Jeff. But, you know, Jose Alvarado is kind of the big one, but he's pretty much owned everywhere. He was available in a few 12-teamers. Obviously, you know, if he was available anywhere, that's a super aggressive one. He looks like the guy in Philly right now. They're kind of getting a little lined up in Philly. It seems like Sir Anthony Dominguez pitched a lot better this week. He's kind of the eighth-inning guy. They're using Alvarado as the ninth-inning guy pretty consistently right now.
Kimbrough got a save Saturday.
Yeah, I think they're both unavailable, maybe. I think they both pitched on Friday.
Right. And then Alvarado need a little help to finish and mop up today, but that I wouldn't worry too much about that because he's been so darn good.
Yeah,
I got him in my 12. I got him in my online championship.
Did you really? How much did you pay for him? Did you get this week?
Yeah. Tonight I overbid a little bit because first of all, he's awesome. I think it's rare to find a pitcher that, you know, is like pitching that great and is getting saved.
A good team. I mean, a team that we expect to be a good team too.
231. Runner up bit of 142. I know Jason Collette won a narrower one in his 12 teamer has beat Jason Collette like 110-101.
How badly do you need closers?
I need them pretty badly. I mean, I have a bunch of crappy closers on my team. So it's like one of those where I'll tell you what I have. Again, my teams are bad this year. So why are you listening to me in the first place? I don't know.
It's April 23rd. I do not believe in a bad team yet.
Scott Barlow, Ronaldo Lopez, and Alex Lang were all active in my roster this week.
I would have paid what you did for Alvarado.
Yeah, five saves on the season. And I also had Quijada on my bench. I mean, I'm just like looking for things, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Thankful for that, by the way, with the six earned runs on Saturday night.
Oh my goodness, that was bad. That was rough. He was really, and he got the save the day before, and we're like, okay, he gets it 2 days in a row. We're making ourselves a stew here. And then he got
I got that reference. I like it. Yeah, our friend Peter Shanky asked, are you releasing Sir Anthony Dominguez? In a 12-teamer, I am. In a 15-teamer, I'm holding on right now. Do you agree? You think I'm off there?
I think you're right. And I wouldn't even get that upset if you dropped him in a 15.
I thought about it last week. I think I got a couple bids in. We're like, you know, if I get a guy I want, I'll do it. But I actually used him this week. He pitched. Mm-hmm. He looked a lot better this week. I was hoping. And he actually snuck in a win, so it worked. A little bit lucky there. But I like how they use him. I like how he looked his last three outings.
Yeah, for sure. And
Alvarado is not a beacon of health, so I don't think he's that far away from maybe saving some games. But he keeps pitching well. I wouldn't mind having the backup to Alvarado there.
And he's got the right-hand advantage over Alvarado, too.
Yeah. Oh, they have Gregory Soto there. It helps a little bit because they got another lefty. But good question. Folds in right nicely here. Matt Leahy's asking, who do you think is next man up for the Cubs? Boxberger got hit yesterday, and Michael Fulmer pretty much got hit all week long.
Yeah, it was a rough week for Fulmer. All along, you know, like Sarah Sanchez, I had her on the RotoWire podcast preseason. You know, and she goes, you know, there's not going to be one guy. And that's come to fruition. By the way, I'm doing – Sarah's got a podcast. It's a fab-based podcast. I'll be on her show tomorrow about 5 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. Nice. I don't know if it's live. We might be just recording and then coming on later, but I will be on her podcast, which will be fab-based.
Yeah, the interesting name out there, a guy who strikes out a ton of guys. They called up Jeremiah Estrada, who is kind of the, you know, if you want to go with closer of the future kind of thing. But you look at his minor league numbers, dude has been nasty. He threw – he had a 38-39% strikeout rate last year, maybe a little bit higher. I'm kind of combining the numbers on the fly here. ERA under 2, a whip around 1. I don't know if they're quite ready yet to throw this guy out there, but it's a good spot for them to take a shot because it's these guys are not pitching especially great. I think I would think Boxberger gets the next op, but man, it's rough right now. Fulmer looked awful this week.
Yeah, I always still kind of holding out some hope for Edward Elzele, because the swing and miss was so good earlier this year. Still good. 13-3K to walk heading in a day. I don't know if he did anything today, but you know, nonetheless, 8.84 WHIP. You know, the team has so many soft tossers, pitch to contact guys. You looking for guys that can miss bats when you're looking for closers. That and guys that don't walk anybody.
Yeah, I would if I were them. Alzolay is the name that would interest me, and I know they brought in the veterans, but Alzolay was really good. He was a starter in 2021, and since he's been in the bullpen, not a lot of innings, but he's been really good. I mean, the WHIP's been under 0.85 in those outings. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
Jeff, a Reds question in the chat. Someone asked Jose Alvarado or Graham Ashcraft. Hard to compare those guys because they play different positions, but it depends what you need, right?
Yeah, pretty much. The thing about Ashcraft is he's still not getting a ton of strikeouts and no change in the swing and miss. That's the thing. Like, still like 8.9% swing and miss. So that was 8.8 last year. Okay, so it was marginal. Yeah, but he's still not striking out a ton of guys. And it seems like the strikeouts are even going down a little bit. Boy, this basketball game got close, by the way. It's now a 1-point game.
It did. I looked up and it was 9, and all of a sudden it's not.
Yeah, so there you go on that. I get the frustration with dealing with Ashcraft too. I mean, it's just because, again, you get the same issue. You know, you're not going to get a good bullpen behind him, not going to get a good amount of run support. He lost against the Pirates this weekend. The defense isn't even that good behind him either, so I get it. Someone else in the chat was talking about dropping Alexis Diaz. Just because I think he needed a hitter, but I get it because the Reds aren't providing a whole lot of save chances.
Yeah, it's I would not drop him yet either. I still like the pitcher. I want to ask you about the Astros. It's been, if you have drafted Ryan Pressly, he's been frustrating. He's either missed some outings here and there, and then he's a little bit sore. He can't go back to back, and whenever he can't go back to back, they get a save the next day. He's got one save so far, and granted, again, it's April 23rd, but like, you're behind the eight ball, and some people that have 7-8 saves. I mean, Josh Hader has 8 saves. I think Romano has 7, and you know, he was drafted a little bit after that range, but not far after that range. They said today that there was a quote. I'm going to mess this up. I'll look who it was, but someone had a quote that actually had a transcript of Dusty talking out. He's like, yeah, he's just, the pitching coach told me he was just a little bit sore, but it just seems like it's always something with Pressly. Maybe he's going to turn out fine, but Brian Abreu is pretty darn good in that bullpen.
Yeah, he is. And you know, I look, you know, he's been, although he struggled a little bit today too. He got the save, Abreu did, but he put two guys on, then got a double play ball. That kind of just stopped everything. But he was wild a little bit. And that's the one thing. Abreu's like,
he is
unhittable, but sometimes you just don't swing.
And that's always scary with a closer because he walks that first guy and it becomes right. A circus really quick. But 43% strikeout rate so far. He's a 36% strikeout rate like guy last year. I think Pressy's still the guy, but it's been a frustrating start. And you worry that, you know, maybe there's something up with him. You hope that this soreness is just that. But it's a slight concern there.
Yeah, a little soreness. Oh, that made me feel so much better. Yeah, definitely. I mean,
and you always hope, like, I hope he's a little bit sick or under the weather because that's way better than someone's soreness. But yeah, and Pressly's not that.
He always shakes his arm. He always shakes his arm. It's fine. You know, no problem.
He is 34. Missed time last year. I had him in the main event last year, and he was really good. But you know, when you miss those 15 innings out of a closer, it hurts. He had 33 saves, so he still was really good. But that'll be an interesting one. You kind of hope that you really hope that the next time they get a save, he's stepping up because you don't want to miss
right.
anymore.
Yep, that's right.
Let's talk about hitters in Fab. But first, a note from our sponsors at Vivid Seats. Baseball is back. Swing into the MLB season with Vivid Seats and score tickets to all the hottest matchups and biggest games of the year. Every crack of the bat, every deep center fly ball to center field, and every heart-pounding double play of your favorite team live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, now you earn rewards with every single purchase. Each ticket you buy gets you closer to the reward. Just buy 10 tickets and simply cash in your credit towards the 11th ticket purchase. Just that easy. A pro reward trip tip, if you buy tickets for your whole group, you split the bill and make progress towards your free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the plate, or if you like sitting in the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all the 23 games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Also, a few sponsors from our notes from our sponsors at the Blue Wire Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We thank you for indulging us there. Jeff, what did you do with hitters? We kind of talked about a couple of the Pirates. They were definitely at the top of some bids. Jack Sawinski and Connor Joe. We've got some Jordan Diaz getting called up for the A's, playing a bunch of second base. What were you doing with hitters this week? I found hitters to be not an overly interesting spot. I think Jaron Duran was probably the biggest bid in most of my leagues.
So it's funny you ask that, because I, in one league, Jorge Polanco is available. I did not get him. I was aggressive, but not nearly aggressive enough. Went 139. He was in the 200s. But I did get Jaron Duran in two of my three onlines. I mean, in two of my three main events.
And how much you pay for Duran? Cause I was surprised by his prices. Maybe I was just the one that was off.
I think it's just cause there's just a lack of inventory out there, but I lost Garrett Mitchell for the season. So, and I have Michael Harris just taking forever to come back from a day-to-day back injury.
What were Duran's prices?
57 to 49 in one of them. And then the other one where we were a little less desperate, we bid 39 to 11. So reasonable prices, I think.
I had a 25, a 67, and a 123.
Yeah, so he was all over the map.
Yeah, I was kind of in the mid-20s, and I thought I had a good chance for him there, but I was definitely way off. I need some steals, and that's the one thing that he's fast. He's playing a lot. He had two more hits today. I think that's a pretty nice ad for someone who's playing a lot right now in a pretty good offense.
Oh, and I actually got him in Scarf too. And I bid more there because I had a need and hadn't spent as much fab money there. So I went 137 and beat second place bid was 87. So I personally was all over the map there.
You really were, but I mean, that's an interesting, it's just your point, though, because every league gets a little bit different how much you need or want him, and that goes down. Yeah. Oh, my God. The Timberwolves just turned the ball over in a tie game, didn't get a shot off. That's horrible.
Yeah, they're lucky that Jokic only made one free throw, too, so on a kind of a ticky-tack call. But anyways.
You have to get a shot.
Yeah, oh, I agree. The third main event, the one where I didn't get Duran, I got Joey Gallo. who was activated this week after an IL stint. And that's a thing, you know what, I understand the risks involved, but I think he's one of the big beneficiaries to the shift limitations, the new rules and all that. I think as it heats up in Minnesota, that's going to be a ballpark you want. So we won that bid 139 to 122. Finally, we were able to drop Scott McGuff, the crime puppy.
I thankfully dropped him too without looking, and today affected it. But can you tell me what Joey Gallo's hard hit rate was coming into today?
No, I cannot.
Give me a ballpark extreme guess.
A ballpark extreme guess. I'll say 60%.
85%.
Wow, I couldn't even go high enough there.
35% barrel rate. Like, the strikeouts are always insane, although they're down from last year. I mean, you're going to get home runs. But God, if he hits 225, like, that probably works, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the playing time is there. They just, you know, Alex Kirilloff is had two home runs today, and they said that after his rehab outing, they're going to probably just start him out back in AAA. So it doesn't even sound like he's going to get the call-up right away.
Yeah. Well, they just sent down Edward Julian. I mean, there's got to be, and we mentioned Polanco coming back.
Yep.
Something's got to give. It really is a commitment to Nick Gordon a little bit longer. I think, you know, that's one of those things where that's one of those things where you can just find the situation. Sorry, I was getting distracted because the cat was being a pain in the butt. I was trying to get someone to get her out of the room. But anyhow,
I thought you were pointing at Jokic.
Yeah, no. See, he got fouled. No. No,
we have a mutual friend who looks like Nikola Jokic. It freaks me out every time.
Really?
Our friend Mike Quackenbush.
Quack kind of does. Yeah, I can
very,
see
it. Very Jokic-like. My wife gets excited every time Jokic dunks, and then she gets excited for that. But yeah. What did you do with that in New York with Oswald Peraza? How do you feel about his playing time? I was in on him because middles were just dry. I actually got outbid, but Peraza's obviously a huge prospect. He's playing a bunch right now. Josh Donaldson's not coming back anytime soon. He had a setback in his rehab assignment. I think we're looking at weeks on Donaldson, and who the heck knows if he ever really fully comes back. But Peraza had, 20 home runs last year, 35 stolen bases. How do you think the playing time works out with him in New York? Because that's obviously
really confusing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you how confusing it is. I saw him picked up in some leagues, and I saw him dropped in others.
It's always when you know that people can't figure out a guy right there.
Right. I think he's a good player, but I can't figure out the playing time right now either. But it's a known issue. Like, looking into this whole season, you knew that this was going to be tricky.
Yeah, I actually really like Peraza the player a ton. So I was in on him because I just kind of hope it just kind of works itself out. Aaron Hicks is pretty much done there. Like, they're not even playing him anymore. And every time he gets near the plate, they just start booing him. So I think that experiment's totally done. Kinder Falefa's bad. It's not, Franchi Cordero got hot, and Willie Calhoun, but there's playing time there. And I just think if they're smart, they just let Peraza. I'd like to see them just let Peraza play for a month and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then you figure something out. But I'd love to see them give a run and just kind of go with it.
Yeah. I'll say this. Volpe is playing well right now.
He's finally warming up. Leading off has served him well. Still hitting a lot of fly balls, but that's just kind of his profile. He had a nice Yankee Stadium homer. I think Yankee Stadium is going to help him a lot as a fly ball. He had a nice one to right field, but at 9 stolen bases already, and everybody likes him. I think that the leadoff move has definitely sparked him a little bit.
Yeah, he's never been like a hitter for average. He's an OBP guy. Yeah. And OBP plus stolen bases, and he's getting the stolen bases all the time too. If he plays good defense, they're going to be fine just leaving him there. And unfortunately, like, Peraza might even be a better defender for all we know, but I don't know that for sure.
I really like Peraza. I think I would just love to see him let him play because I think he'll be really good. You see Judge's quote on Volpe when they're asking about his stolen bases?
No.
He hits second right by him. He's like, is it bug you? He's jumping around everything. He's like, I told him to run every pitch. I want to see you run constantly. I loved it from Judge.
God, I love that.
He's like, I'll hit, you run. That's what you do. That's how, if you're on second base, a single gets me an RBI. Like, it was like, that makes sense. Like, don't worry about that. Just hit.
The opposite of the Madison Bumgarner salty approach. Yes.
Exactly. I find Judge extremely likable. I know he's on the Yankees and people don't like that, but I really like Judge. Any other hitters? Any interest in Corey Jolks in Houston? I read a piece in The Athletic today. I'm going to forget who wrote it, but pretty much I think he's up to stay. Now, that's not in the lineup every day, but this is someone with a huge power bat. And steals too. He was 31-22 in the minors last year in AAA. Strikes out a little bit too much. He struck out a lot so far this year, but he's only 22% in the minors last year. He actually hit 270. This is someone who hits the ball hard. And if he were to kind of carve his way to playing time, Chaz McCormick's on the IL and not expect to be back in the minimum. Jolks is a pretty interesting upside bat if he could just find his way to carve out consistent playing time.
Yeah, I see like the hard hit, but I also see the 18 Ks in one walk. And
the 18 Ks are okay. You can go, but that's gonna, I think that'll work itself out. The one walk is it's definitely concerning. He's got one,
right? I mean, the jokes could be on me. If I don't get them anywhere, but yeah, I see you shaking your head on that one.
I shook my head hard on that one.
Yeah, but sorry, it's you know, it had to be done.
I understand. I like the fact that you look at his last 2 years and that this K rate's down in the low 20% and the swing and strike rate is under 10%. So like, I very much think this first time through could be, you know, seeing major league pitcher for the first time, and maybe he doesn't like get down to his full minor league numbers, but maybe he adjusts down in between somewhere. And if he's at 24-25% and swing and miss 11%, I think that his power really plays.
Yeah, 429 BABIP coming into the other two. Keep that in mind. Yeah,
he ain't gonna hit 327. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. One other sidebar here. Let's hear it for the older prospect. You know, the guy that gets his debut at age 27. I'll say this: they are more likely to handle the other stuff that comes with being a big leaguer for the first time, maybe a little bit more emotionally mature, you know, things of that nature, as opposed to a 20-year-old might get overwhelmed. I mean, I think sometimes you do see that, like the older guys, they may have a much lower ceiling, but they may start off with a lower floor because of that age.
Speaking of emotionally mature, like with the NFL and NHL in Vegas, like that's one game and you're out. 3-4 game series for teams visiting in Vegas are going to be a circus.
It's like we talk about basketball, that Vegas, the LA back-to-backs never loses.
Yeah.
Vegas could be crazy as far as that goes. Absolutely.
But like, it's so much easier in those sports because you play your game and you're done. It's a one game series in basketball or in hockey and football. But man, teams are there from Monday to Thursday in a 4-game set against whatever they call the Vegas team. That's going to be fascinating.
Yeah. By the way, Aces is already used, by the way, guys. Come up with a different name. That's the, you know, WNBA already has the Aces, so
there's no way they don't keep A's, right?
I think they keep the A's, yeah.
I do too. I think it's between Philly and Kansas City, and I think it's just one of those names you probably just keep. Yeah. I'd like him to change the name and like go to Red and Black or something and just completely call it a day.
Yeah. In the chat, a couple people brought up Leody Taveras, who's getting a lot of playing time right now. I think he's very thinly rostered in the 12s. I'm trying to look at the mains to see what his rostership percentage was. But in the 12 teamers, he was very available. 91% rostered in the mains coming in. So there's like five leagues that he was available in there. But would you be interested in him at all?
You know, I actually drafted him in one league late, and I dropped him when he went to the AL. I just needed the roster spot. He's hitting the ball hard, which is, you know, a little surprising for me. He had 3 hits today, which I think people are asking about him. He's hitting .265 now. He had a stolen base today. It was his first stolen base. The key with him is he's still young. Like, this is someone that was a pretty big stolen base prospect that, you know, a lot of people liked, as someone that could come up and steal and not be a guy that, you know, had no batting average or no pop. So, yeah, mildly interested. You know, hasn't done a lot yet, but I think he's someone that's worth rostering and owning in a 15 teamer, especially if you need steals. I would definitely do that. In a 12 teamer, it would be a team dependent thing. If I needed steals, I think he's someone that I could add. I mean, you could see him getting 25 steals in this environment pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the Bubba Thompson ascendancy for stolen bases, but I guess that's not happening.
I'd much rather have Leody than Bubba. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
A few news and notes before we jump out of here. Some people mentioned the chat about Logan Ohapi. That was a really rough one. He's out 4 to 6 months to torn labrum in his shoulder. As someone who tore their labrum in their shoulder, I feel for Logan. It's a long road back, but he will be back. But obviously a drop across the board in all fantasy leagues, which is too bad, because if you grabbed him, you know, when he was first going down in the minors, he came up, he looked really good. And that's a tough one to lose when you get kind of a gem like that and you lose it pretty quick.
Yeah. I realized the extent of his injury, because I didn't end up getting him. I want him almost everywhere. And then there was the rumors of him getting sent down and I didn't get him. But I realized the extent of his injury when I got an email notification. Someone posted they did the Fab Reclaim and Tout Wars for him. I was like, oh, that's probably 60-day IL. Sure enough.
Yeah.
That. Oh, brutal.
Yeah, there's just, you know, with that surgery and stuff, there's just no way back quicker than that. Speaking of the catcher market, Will Smith on the concussion IL at the moment. We mentioned him last week. He's still on it, doing better, not expected to be back before Friday, but it sounds like maybe another half week. But again, as we talked about last week, this is just an injury you can't, it's really hard to quantify. When he's back, he's back. But until then, he took a bunch of balls off the face mask, and it's tough as a catcher.
Yeah, and you just never know with the time frame on concussions. Could be 3 days, could be 30 days, could be 3 months. We don't know.
We're talking about the Angels' Logan Ohapi. Appleway Chiropractic in the chat. Joe Adele went cold. Yeah, that's what Joe Adele does.
I was going to say that exact comment. That's so funny.
Joe Adele hit 6 homers in a week, and then you'll never hear from him. He won't get a hit for 3 weeks. As someone who liked Joe Adele last year and was wrong, I don't think I'm going back.
Yeah, and when they pointed out he was tearing it up in Salt Lake, well, that's like being big in Japan as a rock star. You know what? It just you're big in AAA. You're big in Salt Lake.
This was this is a weird week where we had a number of pitchers that got scratched or had injuries and then came back and they're actually fine. Corbin Burns had it earlier in the week. Jacob deGrom had it. And then Sandy Alcantara was scratched out with bicep tendonitis. Oh, you're always like, oh boy, that's just bad.
Yeah.
I just started a Wednesday. It's at Atlanta, which is tough, but obviously you're starting him there. It's weird that I think I'm so used to like anytime a pitcher gets hurt, I assume he's out a month or two. And all three of those guys came back really quickly.
Yeah, they did. You know, Hunter Green too, off the comeback or off the tibia and all that. The one thing is in the case of Sandy, it was super cold in Cleveland this weekend. Remember, they got weathered out on Friday.
Yeah.
It's going to start the first game of a doubleheader on Saturday. Maybe it's just like, okay, let's use an ounce of precaution here. Give him a couple extra days too, but we'll see. I mean, we also thought that, in some other cases that, it's an innocuous little injury. I think like Woodruff, it was like, he just didn't respond well, but
it's examples like that. I just never actually believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
How hard do you think the Nuggets owner is rooting for the Timberwolves so we can get a home date for game 5?
I didn't think about that.
It's like $3 million extra dollars per game in the first round.
I did not realize that. I think though, if you have championship aspirations, you want that rest time.
You're not losing the series. Are you? You want one more home date, right?
I don't know. Philly seemed to just take care of business even without Embiid. It was like the rest time was more important.
I just always wonder if an owner is like, yeah, let's get the rest, or an owner's like, yeah, give me one more date. We'll be good.
I think it depends on which owner you're talking about.
John Fisher definitely wants the extra date. Justin Verlander threw 43 pitches in a sim game, which is really good there. Seems like he's making progress. It really feels like they're just being really safe with Verlander. It's early in the year. It seems like he's progressing in the right direction.
Yeah, with despite so many things going wrong, I'm impressed with their patience on this.
Me too. Matt Leahy asked in the chat about Will Smith. We just hit Will Smith. He's expected to be not back before Friday, but it sounds like he might be playing this weekend coming up. Tony Gonsolin, speaking of the Dodgers, expected to likely to start on Wednesday. He's coming off the IL. It's at Pittsburgh, Jeff. The mighty Pirates, 16-7. I assume you're throwing Gonsolin off the bat here.
I don't know necessarily, because you're not going to get strikeouts or length in the game, right? You might get a 4-inning outing in his first game back. So it has nothing to do with the opponent, but it might just be a little ounce of precaution first start back.
I'm gonna go ahead on this one and say that you're right. I just saw that he called him. They're like he build up for around 4 innings, so I actually would not use him.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, he got delayed a couple times in his rehab. The longer a guy is out, the less likely I'm going to activate him for his first time back.
When Dave Roberts said, they asked about Gonsolin, he said he's the likely start Wednesday, called him the best option. That's a ringing endorsement there.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that's because Grove got hurt and stunk before that.
They're missing guys, and he built him around 4 innings. So I take it back. I would sit him this week. I'm not. I'd definitely pick him up if he was available. If you're playing in a more shallow league where he's available, I would definitely pick him up. He's always a guy that has a good ERA, a good ratio guy. But I'm waiting one more week on him.
Yeah.
MJ Melendez left early on Sunday with lower back tightness. I hated this one, Jeff. He's a catcher. I couldn't pick up a third catcher. I just have to hope. It sounds like it's day to day, and he's going to be okay, but. I don't know. If he goes in the IL, it'll suck, but it's a catcher. I wasn't going to add a third one.
Yeah. I got him in Tout Wars, and I didn't even bother bidding on a catcher.
I didn't either. I didn't have a drop, and I was like, I looked at the catchers, and it was Jose Trevino and Austin Nola and Martin Maldonado. I was like, do I need an 0-16? I'll just take the zeros.
Yeah. Come on. But he's so great defensively, so that means nothing for us. All right.
It does not. Every time you look at Maldonado, he's 150 for the week with maybe a home run every once in a while. Tim Anderson got some decent news there. He's nearing a rehab stint. He fielded grounders and ran sprints on Saturday. Sounds like maybe we're a week away on Anderson if everything goes well. Obviously, as we've seen with many guys with rehab stints, it doesn't always go smoothly. But it sounds like if things go well, we could be a week away from Anderson getting back in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm still hoping for Friday. But it's just in a 15-team mixer there where you're trying to replace a shortstop, it's tough.
I have two of them, and I could not. I used Edmundo Sosa this week, and then he got hurt and missed the first half of the week.
Yeah,
it's been rough finding shortstops. Michael Harris, you mentioned him earlier, did take part in batting practice on Saturday, so it seems like we're moving, but I think we're still looking at probably 10 days still.
It took him forever to get to batting practice stage.
Forever, yeah. It was like, oh, he's off a tee, and then batting practice. It's been really slow.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. Someone asked the chat about Mitch Haniger and Jose Siri. They're both coming back soon too. I know that Siri was, I saw a highlight of him on his rehab stint today, so I imagine he'll be back pretty quickly. That's kind of all the really big names I had there. Jose Altuve, Jeff, is the other one. He's just ahead of schedule, they said. They did not put him on the 60-day IL. It sounds like they made a good call there. I think we might get late May with Jose Altuve.
So it's funny. The Astros swept the Braves this weekend, had a good series, but they're not really firing in all cylinders offensively. You look at that lineup, you're like, really? Yeah. So they bring some more balance back to it there.
That was like your second Arrested Development call in a row. I like that one.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way. They're just missing that link. Yeah. I got to get a Jose Abreu out of the cleanup spot too, by the way.
We've talked about him a bunch just because we talked about him last year with the main event and how slow it was down the stretch. It's been bad.
Yeah.
He does not look, he looks like the guy from the last 2 months rather than the guy from years before that so far. Again, it's early, but he is 36. At some point, you wonder it falls off, but he still has not homered. He has a .284 slugging percentage, Jeff.
That's suboptimal. Crawford boxes aren't saving him.
No, his WRC plus right now is 61.
That's bad. That's bad.
Bad. He was 137.
On a scale of 100 is average, by the way, guys.
Yeah, he was 137 last year and has never been under 100 his entire career. He's 61 right now.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, it's pretty rough right now. Anybody else you want to talk about, Jeff? Anybody else on your mind? What do you think about Eduardo Rodriguez? He has been dealing through a one hitter today over seven innings. Do you think that E-Rod is back in our lives here?
I hesitate to issue an opinion on E-Rod lest I incur the bad will of certain Twitter denizens.
That's true. If you say anything good, the rest of the season is your fault.
Yeah. But he sure is pitching well. I mean, I mean, he's been a good pitcher in the past, right? I still don't know everything that happened last year.
Yeah, it was a weird year.
But I mean, he was a good pitcher at times on the Red Sox. I mean, I think he could be an asset. We'll see what happens in Detroit when the weather warms up. But it's a good park for him to be in too.
And that's three good outings in a row too. He struck out 10 the outing before that. There's been a couple of questions in the chat about Josh Lowe, the Tampa Bay version. It is Lowe. Brandon is Lowe. He's Lowe. Had a really good start to the year so far, hitting .345, four home runs, four steals. This is someone that was a huge prospect last year, a lot of big bids, and then he really disappointed the majors last year, hit .221, mm-hmm. only two homers and three steals across about 200 plate appearances. Struck out a ton, both in the minors and the majors last year. Weirdly enough, his strikeout rate in the minors last year was 33%. Strikeout in the majors, 33%. 15% so far this year. It's weird. He's not hitting anything hard, but he's not striking out. He looks like a different guy, but it's worked so far.
Yep. He contributed to the Rays home run streak in the ninth inning of their one loss to the Reds.
Longest ever to start a season, right? 22 games in a row.
Yeah. They didn't go crazy today, but they're still undefeated at home.
Are they really? Wow.
Yeah.
Toronto beat him 2 out of 3, but that was in Rogers Center, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then the Reds are responsible for their only other loss.
Look at your Reds making names and influencing
look at us.
Leagues. Yeah. The situation with Tampa though is like when Siri comes back, like that outfield is insanely crowded. You've got a Rosarena who's going to play every day. You've got Harold Ramirez hitting like .370. You got Lowe who's been really good. You got Manny Margot there. You have you got Luke Rayleigh there who I think homered yesterday.
Homer today.
There you go. When you get Siri back, we might get back to the platooning Rays pretty quickly, which gets frustrating for us fantasy players.
I think the only three players that are going to play every day for the Rays, four out of nine is not bad. Actually.
Are you counting Yandy? You got to count Yandy, right?
Yeah, Yandy Diaz, Rosarena, and then the middle infielders.
Franco and Brandon Lau.
Yeah. Everybody else is platoon happy. And even Lau is going to sit against select lefties sometimes.
Hel Ramirez, five home runs, hitting .373.
So good this year.
Do not platoon my dude.
Yeah.
They're going to, though.
They have to. Because everybody's got to play, and yep. Platooning works too. We get frustrated with it, but in real life, it works.
I know. I think sometimes teams do it too quickly, but the way the Rays do it obviously works. Taylor Walls has actually been, he's a really good glove too. So he's going to play in there in the mix. So they're going to have to play a lot of guys. It's going to be a little frustrating, but I think that at least Josh Lowe, who the original question was about, at least he's on the strong side of the platoon. So that's helped. Whenever there's righties out there, Lowe's going to play. You're going to sit against some lefties, but that might actually help your batting average a little bit. I think that him sitting against lefties is not going to kill you. I think he's going to still be pretty usable.
Here's how good the Rays are doing. Bethancourt, their starting catcher, nominal starting catcher. It's kind of a split, but he's slugging over 600 right now.
I like Bethancourt.
I do too.
Barrel last year was 12%. He was on the A's for a while last year, and then he went to the Rays. 44% hard hit last year. Right now, he's at 64.5% hard hit and a 19% barrel rate. Like, the guy can legit hit right now, and he was kind of buzzy when he first got called up in Atlanta and then kind of disappeared for a while, but dude, hits the ball hard. I think that as a catcher, too, you could do a lot worse than Bethancourt.
I, for one, am shocked that the Rays have found someone that was an underappreciated asset in one organization and made him better in theirs. And it's not just the A's. He was a Padre, too, before that. So, it's not just an A's thing in this point.
The Rays are very, very, very smart.
Yep.
Before we get out of here, since someone asked about him, Nico Hoerner in Chicago has had a really good start to the year. In 355 with freaking 9 stolen bases, Jeff. I know he's not quite Ronald Acuna, who has now 12 stolen bases after stealing 4 this weekend. But Acuna's right there. Hoerner's right there. Sorry, 9 stolen bases, 2 steals. How do you feel about him kind of going forward? I know the start's been really good. Obviously, there's someone that everybody really liked. I think everybody likes Nico Hoerner. He's a batting average guy. He went to Stanford, which means I like him. but, you know, he stole 20 bags last year, and that was his career high. Are we looking at like a 30 to 35 stolen base kind of guy?
Under the new rules, maybe. I didn't think he'd really be the guy to benefit, but two things have happened. One, he's playing every single day. He's batting leadoff, so he's in a good spot, too. I think that's one of the things. He had such a weird start to his career. Remember, he was done in the minors for the season, and then they had, like, two guys get hurt in the middle infield. So the Cubs called him up after, like, he had wound down, and then, like, you know, we're like, oh, okay, he's going to be ready for next year. And then he wasn't. You know, saw very little of him again. Finally, he established himself as a regular, full-time, everyday player last year. Was really good down the stretch, you know. Yeah. And then this year, he's now the guy. And he was, you know, there's draft pedigree. He's a first-round pick in 2018. Yep. So it's just he came up so early. I mean, he came up, played those 20 games in 2019. And we saw very little of them in 2020 and 21. 20 obviously was – well, 20 was – saw plenty of them in 20. That was 48 out of 60 games. So, but in 21, he didn't play that much. I think he got hurt for a while. Now he's the guy.
Clark Olson with Leland Stanford Junior University. I love it, Clark. You're the man for that one. I appreciate that. Are you buying the Cody Bellinger bounce back, Jeff? It's it was like, he got a couple of hits. He's now hitting 300 after today.
I don't know. I don't know. My answer is I don't know.
14.1% strikeout rate right now.
How?
Hitting nothing hard. He's just making contact. It is the strangest profile right now. He's a 31% hard hit right now.
And yet he's slugging .539.
Yeah, because he has 5 homers. And when he's hit hard, he's really hit hard. He's got 4 stolen bases. It's weird. He's not striking out. He's walking, but he's not hitting the ball hard. I have no idea where this goes in a month. I usually have pretty good opinions on guys. I have no idea where we're looking at here. He could hit 200 the next month. He could hit 300 and not hit the ball. I have no idea if he's like a complete different approach. If he's just trying to not strike out and make contact.
Make more contact.
I have no, it's a weird setup, but he's changed his swing so many times. I just have no idea what to expect here, but you drafted him. It's worked out really, really well so far.
The only place I drafted him was in the XFL, which was in November, and he was just kind of on the cheap. This is before the Dodgers even parted ways with them.
Do you guys have any sort of copyright infringement issues now that the XFL is back?
No, I don't. It's not a for-profit organization, so we're fine.
You've been watching the XFL games, Jeff?
What do you think, Scott?
I think definitely not.
Yeah. Honestly, bully to those that are so football-oriented that they're thirsty for football and they want to watch it. That's great. That's who the audience is for. There's so much else on my plate right now that I just don't possibly.
I'm already kind of over draft talk too.
Yeah, well, it's going to reach its crescendo this week. I love, you know what? I used to be a little resentful for, like, you know, the draft talk taking up like live baseball, but then 2020 happened and the draft was like a panacea. I love the NFL. So, I mean, I want to see what my Bengals are going to do. So
I love the NFL too, but I find like the first 2 hours of the draft on Thursday interesting, but then Friday and Saturday beyond boring on TV.
Yeah, I have to wait till the very end of the first round. So there's that, which I kind of like.
I got to wait till the end of the third round.
Well, yeah, that's another story there. Yeah. We'll have to talk about the Niners quarterback at some other point because we're already an hour and 15 in. Yeah, but
it is a fascinating situation. It is just fascinating.
Yeah. We'll see if the draft resolves any of that. They make any sort of deal or trade. But
they're probably the best team in football, player 2 through 53.
Yeah, it's just player one. It's just
player one matters a little bit.
And the funny thing is they've whiffed on first round picks too. It's crazy.
Yeah, they have. They draft really well in the mid rounds.
Yeah, indeed.
But yeah, so cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast sponsored by Rival Fantasy. We appreciate them for that. You want to follow Jeff on Twitter. He's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensted. Jeff, we might have a fill-in guest next week. Is that right? Did I do the dates right?
You did. I will be in beautiful, bucolic Wichita, Kansas.
So I will be here. I will have a surprise guest that night talking baseball, maybe about the same time on Sunday night. So safe travels to Jeff, and we will be back at you next Sunday. Hope everybody has a really good fantasy week, a really good real life week, and take care.
Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.